My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator of Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you again the commission of the ministry. And this was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. And he said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. He says, I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach those around the world who have a real heart after God. And today is my privilege to be speaking to you on the need for repentance. Hallelujah. Repentance is easy now since Jesus died on the cross. The way has been made open, hallelujah, for all mankind to get to know him and get the help they need. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. In John's epistle, in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 1, this is what he writes. He says, My little children, these things I write that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2, this is 1 John 2 and verse 2. It says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There is only one solution for sin. Only the blood of Jesus will turn away the wrath of God. We can enjoy forgiveness when we confess. And once we accept by faith the work of Jesus on the cross for us personally. Webster defines propitiation. He says propitiation in theology is the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage his wrath and render him propitious to sinners. Christ is the propitiation for the sins of men. God hates sin. We read in the book of Revelation, speaking about the holy city, which is where we all want to dwell in the end. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 27. And it says there, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are only they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Once our sins are forgiven, there is no wrath between us and God, and the barrier of sin is removed, so that we can now get to know him. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation, this is the judgment, he's saying. This is John 3 and 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The judgment now is like this, that you must come into the light. If you run from God, you're afraid. And this kind of fear will destroy you. You need to come to God and not avoid correction and conviction. When you experience God's wisdom that He shows in dealing with your sin personally, you will fear God in a different way, but with reverence. John said here in 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. In John's epistle, he is offering only two choices here. If you have still any unconfessed sin in your life, either you confess your sin or you will end up deceiving yourself. This promise of forgiveness is based on His grace and mercy. God doesn't have to keep forgiving sin. But He also knows that if He does not forgive that sin, then you and I will end up living in darkness the rest of our lives. He is forgiving sin based on His own loving kindness, not based on any of our works. We cannot earn this forgiveness in any way. But you and I have to do our part, which is based on the Word. Someone once said that because Jesus died on the cross and took upon Himself all the sins of mankind, past, present, and future, that we no longer need to confess our sins. But this is a lie and contrary to Scripture. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, and I'm reading verse 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because I'm saved by grace through faith, then I need to confess my sins as God told me in John's epistle, to get the forgiveness I need. If I do not confess my sins, then my faith is not in His word, and therefore I will not be forgiven. When you do something in obedience to God's word, this shows humility and simple trust in His word and His instructions. You don't make up the rules. Leonard Ravenhill said this, never adjust the word of God to fit your doctrine. Instead, adjust your doctrine to fit the word of God. James chapter 2 and verse 20. This is James speaking. In James chapter 2 and verse 20, he said, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Do not be vain. Just follow the instructions. This activates the promise. Not doing what you're told leads to death. James, in James 2 and 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You have faith, but it's not active and alive if you believe a lie instead. God has no contract with us to always forgive sin. In fact, a time is coming soon when grace runs out. We call that the day of no repentance, and it's coming soon. It will come to the church first, and those who are not ready in the church will be left behind. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 and 23, Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity is defined as departing from the truth. People want to make excuses today, but Jesus gave this simple parable of the sower. In Luke chapter 8, verses 5 to 8, remember the seed represents his word for your life. Verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 6. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. Verse 8. And other fell on good ground, and sprung up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I believe God is transmitting his perfect will for every child of his. He has given us the Holy Spirit, but we need to be broken and teachable to do his will. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. This is how his word changes our lives. Isaiah 55, verse 10 says, For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11, So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing with where I sent it. God is speaking all the time, and the only chance we have to find that new life in Jesus is to have ears to hear, and for God to, that he would grant us repentance. We need the victory over sin through repentance. And all we have to do is to admit that we have sinned against God, and this starts the process. It might be an obvious sin, but it can also be a sin of omission. There are things that God sent you here on this earth to do. Paul said it in Ephesians 2 and 10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is the greatest time to be alive. Grace is available for you now to finish your race and to be the person you're supposed to be. There is still time. Be glorious for God by just yielding to the Holy Spirit. Start by confessing that you have missed doing what God has planned in your life and done your own will instead. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Raca means to be insulting to somebody when you're in a courtroom. But remember, God's standards are much, much higher. God's forgiveness is often taken for granted by people who don't have a right attitude for sin. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, Jesus said this, and we read, This is Matthew chapter 5, 29 and 30. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body be cast into hell. Verse 30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not the whole body should be cast into hell. Many have a casual attitude towards sin, and never even get around to confessing their sin. They assume God will just forgive them. God can make an exception by grace and cover your sin due to ignorance at the beginning. But grace will run out. He even wants you to experience his presence. In Psalm 22 and verse 3 it says, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. For whatever reason, the pastor of a church may not want to deal with the congregation or tell them that the wages of sin is death. So instead of teaching the people how they can live in the Spirit and avoid sinning, he lets them experience a taste of God each week. The grace is always there when at least one or two people humble themselves and the presence of God turns up for a short time so that people can taste that God is good. Many churches repeat this statement each week with the leader. They say, God is good, and the people repeat all the time. But the people do not experience that goodness all day long, and they are deceiving themselves. Some very immature churches believe that God will not cast anyone into hell. But Jesus said this in Matthew 10 and 28. He said, Fear not them which kill the body, but not be able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. It is important that you realize the seriousness of sin before you came to Christ, and that you deserve judgment. God would be just and right to cast you into hell. Even David, after he sinned, said this. This is in Psalm 51, starting in verse 2. He said, Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak, and be clear when thou judgest. Some people have a fear of going to hell, and they get saved with the wrong motive. As a result, they never really get to know him because they don't come to God. They actually see Christianity as just another religion. Then later, maybe in life, they wake up in church and realize what it's really all about. Time is running out. Whenever you make one mistake, you can get forgiveness very easily. But there are consequences for sin. Galatians 6 and 7, Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God can have mercy. We know this. And Paul said this in Romans 9 and 15. He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It is amazing when you discover for yourself that God will do everything he can to minimize the consequences of sin and to help you. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, he said, The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Take time with him in his presence to look at your sins without any fear or coming under condemnation. You know now that you can get forgiveness immediately. You see your sins that he shows you. Then you will appreciate the love of God for you personally. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? If you keep making the same mistake, then you can get in more serious trouble. Curses will increase. And you may die if you keep sinning." Paul said to the church like this in Romans 6 and 23. This is Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Just saying you're sorry or that you will try harder is not the solution for sin. God loves you, but he does not want you to die early. If you're still making the same mistake over and over, something is wrong. Maybe you lack the fear of God. Maybe you're just making excuses for your sin. You've stopped looking for the reasons why you're still sinning. Maybe you're unwilling to come to repentance because of the fear of the shame. Maybe you're unwilling to follow Christ, but instead you will follow a way that seems right. Paul describes the ungodly lifestyle like this in Romans chapter 3. This is Paul speaking. Romans chapter 3, and starting in verse 12. He says, "They are all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Verse 13. "And their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is in their lips." Verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Verse 15. "Their feet are swift to shed blood." Verse 16, "Destruction and misery are in their ways." Verse 17, "And the way of peace they have not known." Verse 18, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." If you're struggling with sin, then humble yourself. In Luke chapter 18 and starting in verse 9. "And Jesus said this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despise others." This is Luke chapter 18, verse 10. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican." Verse 11, "The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican.'" Verse 12. "He said, 'I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all that I possess.'" Verse 13. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Verse 14. "Jesus said this, 'I tell you that this man went down to his house more justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Before Jesus died, we were all cut off from God and alienated from God through our sins. Colossians 1 and 20 tells us, this is Paul speaking, Colossians 1, I'm reading from verse 20 to 22. And he says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there are things in earth or things in heaven. Verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. Verse 22. And the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The purpose of God's forgiveness is that we can have access to the Holy Spirit, the mind of God, and get the help we need to live a new life. Hebrews 4 and 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace and mercy for repentance will give us all a chance to have a new life based on keeping his commandments and keeping his word. Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 8, this is Galatians 6 and verse 8, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We are the ones who determine what we experience in this life. Sin brings curses, but sin is only a fruit of the flesh. James explains it in James 1 and 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Jesus is now Lord. And Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 8 to 10, listen to this. This is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So everyone who does not listen to his voice and do what he said is going to perish or suffer loss. Even as the world gets worse, do not be deceived. His kingdom is coming. The Old Testament states in Isaiah 9 and verse 7, talking about the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of our Lord. Isaiah 9 and 7. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice. And from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The earth belongs to Jesus. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 10 and 26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Paul also preached like this in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, In 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, he said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." The only way to abide in him is to make him Lord. By accepting him as Lord, you get to know him and walk as he did with God the Father when he was on the earth. Christianity is not just another religion. It's a relationship with a living God. Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is life eternal, that we, that they, that those disciples, that we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Eternal life is not just living forever or just being born again. You can now get to know God by hearing his voice and living in his presence. We have no possibility to know God personally without his love, his forgiveness of sins. The love of God is available for everyone now. We read in John, in John's Gospel, this is what Jesus said himself. John chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." In the Amplified Bible, John 3:16 says this, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten Son, unique Son, so that whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal everlasting life." John 3:16 says that he dearly prized or loved the world. That includes you personally. That is why Jesus died for you. And God says he gave up his only Son for you. His love is amazing. You should now be clinging to him because you know that you were guilty of using your mind and earthly wisdom. At salvation, you should have seen the consequences of your sin and that you were deceiving yourself, the many lies that you were believing and following in your heart came because you believed and listened to yourself and your own wisdom. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." In the Gospel of John, we read, this is John chapter 1 and verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." As part of your repentance, you're going to change. And you're going to get that godly wisdom and learn of him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, 29 and 30. Listen to these words. Jesus is speaking to you right now. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Verse 30. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You have to be yoked to him. Only when you resist his leading will you get hurt. Otherwise, the yoke is easy and the burden is light, because he is Lord. Do not let the wisdom of man hinder you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, he said this to the church, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Natural wisdom can keep you from getting the wisdom you really need. Paul again said in 1 Corinthians 3 and 18, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." You cannot start this new life listening again to the wisdom of this world. You are going to be yoked with Jesus. You're going to change whatever he shows you from now on in faith. This looks foolishness to the world. We read about the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. And in verse 6, we read how sin came into the world. This is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Sin came into the world through Eve, who was tempted by natural wisdom, knowledge, and all that she could see that would help her personally in this world. And she grabbed it rather than trusting God. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 14, 23. "He that doubteth is damned, if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. But whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Jesus' teaching was very clear. Listen to this. In Matthew 6, starting in verse 24. "No man can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." This is verse 25. Let's read it again. Matthew 6, 25. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold," in verse 26, "behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are ye not much better than they?" Verse 27, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, and how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin." Verse 29, "And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Verse 31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith will we be clothed? Verse 32. Matthew 6:32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these. You cannot serve God or get on the narrow way where you're still looking after yourself and doing what the world says you must do. Mark chapter 10 and 24. This is Mark's gospel. Mark chapter 10, verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words. And Jesus answered it again and said unto them, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot enter if you're still trusting in riches or anything else in this world. If you have a right attitude and a right motive, you will very quickly get to know God. You will discover for yourself that He cares for you and realize He is now your heavenly Father. When you trust Him and do not react and learn to listen to God, you will get to see what He does instead. This world will tell you to react fast when you're in trouble, out of fear. But David said in the Psalms, in Psalm 23, and verse 4. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. When you find yourself in an anxious moment, do not take matters into your own hands. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, in verse 38 and 39, he said, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. There is nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Old Testament, it says this. In the book of Isaiah, we read, this is the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. I'm reading verses 1 and 2. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. When you take over the Lordship and take matters into your hands, you are sinning against God. Your Lordship has separated you from God again. This is not a minor sin. You started with God, and now you have departed from that simple truth of following Christ. This would be high treason and punishable instantly if Jesus was literally ruling on this earth right now. Paul is sharing in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. But that means you have to abide. And Isaiah tells us sin can get you out of Christ. John said in 1 John 2 and verse 5 and 6. I'm reading from the Epistle of John. This is 1 John 2, 5 and 6. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. Verse 26. And he that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Jesus walked by hearing the Father and did nothing without first hearing from God. The word perfected here in the Strong's is number 5048. It's taken from a word which means to be complete. That is literally accomplish, or figurative to consummate in character. To consecrate, finish, fulfill, make perfect. When you abide, the love of God can be perfected in you, and you will get to know and trust him. John said in 1 John 4:18, listen to these wonderful words in the Epistle of John. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath to do with torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. The love of God is what the whole world needs right now. Also, that love can only really be experienced when Jesus is your Lord. His Lordship is what keeps you in his presence. You will have all the fruit of the Spirit that comes when you abide as well. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 22 and 23. It says there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. When you are doing anything with his love, you will become pure. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 8, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You will start to see God at work in your life. It's like an adventure, Paul says. He describes it a little bit here in Romans 8 and verse 28. And he says, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Sin can separate you from the presence of God. And when you are separated from God, then you will not experience his love that Paul described here in Romans 8. This is when some people give up and even judge God or lose their faith in God. But they were not seeking God out of a pure heart. They came to Jesus for the benefits of salvation, not for a relationship with Christ. Jesus taught this in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He said, enter in through the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The entrance to the narrow way is not hidden, but people think it's okay to make decisions yourself. But only on the narrow way can you experience this amazing love of God. But you have to put him first. You have to deny yourself and take up your cross. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 24. This is in the Gospels. Matthew 16, 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The devil has contaminated the minds of man to believe that God is the problem. Freedom and life is not possible where you stay in control of your life and do whatever you want when you want. Jesus gave this parable in Luke 15. It's a powerful message. Luke 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he went and he sent to them into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16. And he would fain, having filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Verse 19. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son, and to make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and the shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Luke 15:23. If you serve your own interests and go back to your own reasoning, you will end up being deceived. You will waste opportunities, make a mess of your life, reap the consequences. The narrow way looks hard to enter with your mind. If you listen to the flesh and to the world, you will never enter, because they are saying, looking after yourself all the time. But sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. Look at what John said here. This is in 1 John 3. I'm starting in verse 6. I'm reading to verse 9. This is John's epistle. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Righteousness is needed for life. This life, righteousness is basically doing the right thing. Only God knows the right thing to eat, what to do, what to wear, what is really good for you. It is necessary to stop sinning if you want all the curses to stop. Life only starts when you deny yourself and just listen to God instead. God will never tell you to sin. Paul said in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." The broad way looks nice and seems right, but it does not produce any fruit or change. In Proverbs 14:12 it says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." If you choose the broad way, you will only get a communication on the emergency channel saying, "Repent, repent, repent." Paul said in the book of Acts, this is Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. He said, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." According to Paul, we all get a good start when we are first born again. He said in Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 12 to 14. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12, he said, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Verse 13, "Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now there is no excuse for anyone to spend any time outside of the presence of God. When you are open to God, he is open with you. If you ask, he will give you the Holy Spirit. But remember, the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to direct your life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Luke 11 and 13, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" When the Holy Spirit comes in, he is the means through which you're going to hear the voice of God when you are born again. Make up your mind now that you are going to stop making the decisions and rely on the Holy Spirit and do his perfect will when you receive the Holy Spirit. Matthew 6, Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Verse 34. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Decide to make him Lord now. Repent and stop trying to work things out with your mind. If you receive the Holy Spirit and then grieve him, how will you be saved? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, listen to this, and he said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Repentance was the first message that was preached to Israel. Let's not resist what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. We read in the book of Acts what Stephen said about the Jews in Acts chapter 7 verse 51. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you." God granted repentance to the Jews. Speaking about Jesus in Acts 5:31, we read, Him hath God highly exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. The Jews had to repent. They were guilty of killing the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, their Messiah, and all the prophets. They were blind without his grace. The Jews had to repent. They were guilty of killing the prophets as well as Christ the Messiah, the King of Kings. They were all blind without his grace. Even Paul, we read in the book of Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 4, and it says there about him, he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thee, thou me? Verse 5, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul experienced the forgiveness of his sins for persecuting the saints at that time. He was killing his own people in the name of God and religion. These were people who had repented since the day of Pentecost and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul experienced a change himself. And he wrote in the book of Acts, chapter 13, 38, this is what he said. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Many believed. We read it in the book of Acts 13 and verse 43. And now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who was speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. If you have really repented, then you have to continue in the grace of God. That means that you use his grace to continue to hear his voice and obey God. He is Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 3, I love these words. This is in the Gospel of Matthew 18 and verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is a very clear statement with no exceptions. Jesus said it. You must become like a little child. This means to trust him with all your heart and stop leaning to your understanding. Anything is hard for the flesh because it likes to know everything first. But in the kingdom of God, you only need to know him because he is trustworthy. The devil wants you to believe God's ways are hard. We read a story in Matthew 25. I'm reading from verses 24 to 30. And then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou had not sown, and gathering where you had not sowed. Verse 25, And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. Verse 26, His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and lazy servant, thou knewest that I reap where I had not sowed, and gather where I had not planted. Verse 27, That thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29, For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Matthew 25 verse 30, And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do not let the devil make a fool out of you and convince you of his lies like this. Many do not use what they have and think God is a hard taskmaster like the wicked and lazy servant. We need to enter. It's easy to enter the kingdom of God when you do it God's way. The devil will encourage you to do your very best effort in the flesh without faith. And God then resists you out of love. You're trying to enter a way by works. But it's not just hard, it's impossible. Paul said in Romans 7 and 15, for that which I want to do, I do not. For what I don't want to do, that I end up doing. Verse 16, then what I do and I do not want to do, I consent that the law is good. The devil will get you to do something that is impossible or hard and then say to you, see, I told you it's hard. But the psalmist said in Psalm 34 and verse 8, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. God wants you to go from just tasting to trusting. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Getting a taste is part of God's way of teaching you and letting you experience spiritual things. And this will give you an appetite for his better ways. It is by grace when something happens once, and then you know it can happen again and again. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 34, and Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. It is impossible to understand his ways with the natural mind. So it has to be by grace to start with. We can never reach God's level of understanding except by grace. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You need to enter, not just get a taste. We need to make some changes now through repentance. Joseph Hedgecott says in his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, in chapter 6 on page 69, repentance is the key factor in establishing fellowship with God. You cannot get more in the kingdom without trusting him with all your heart, like a little child. This is the foundation of his lordship in your life. Your lordship starts with pride and knowledge, and without any need to ask God, and you just decide yourself. But Paul said in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. In this example, Paul was in prison, and there was an earthquake, and all the doors of the prison where he was being kept swung open, and the jailer was going to kill himself because of the fear of suffering. But Paul spoke to him. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 31, in the Amplified, it says this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping. Entrust yourself into his own keeping and you'll be saved. Our faith has to be released into the fact that Jesus is Lord now. that he is ruling now. He is in control now. Reject anything that says otherwise. The devil could not kill Jesus. Death could not hold him. Even the devil could not stop the kingdom of God coming in great power on the day of Pentecost. According to Paul, three things you must do to be saved. Number one, reject your own lordship, giving yourself up to him. Number two, stop looking after yourself and your own interests. Number three, put yourself in his keeping and trust him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof." Repentance can take time, but it's possible to get rid of that carnal nature. He has given us time to repent of our sins and show that we have changed our ways. Having your doctrine right or accurate Bible explanations and understanding prophecy will not save you. Only true repentance from sin will make you ready. Jesus said this to the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 31. And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto them, yea, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. The scribes of the law and the Pharisees only had an outward appearance." And Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, he said, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus said to the religious leaders of his time, that those who had studied with their own minds, he said this in Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3. "And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Verse 3. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" Natural wisdom cannot save you. Repentance is the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven. You have nothing to fear coming back to God and coming into his presence. The psalmist said in Psalm 100, this is verses 3 to 5 I'm reading, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Verse 4. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Verse 5. "For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." The psalmist here is talking about those who are following the Lord and who are the sheep of his pasture. If you've made Jesus Lord, then coming in his presence is a joy. You're not hiding from God. You love to be in his presence. You do not want anything to get between you and your God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, I'm reading from verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Any experience in God's courtroom will start with forgiveness of sin and give us a chance to repent. Hallelujah. Isaiah 1:18, look at this. This is in the book of Isaiah again, this time chapter 1, verse 18. And God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Repentance is sometimes painful. And God can even talk to us about our mistakes. In the New Testament, we receive the Spirit. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, he said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. The best way to stop sinning is to make Jesus Lord. We now have the possibility to hear his voice clearly by receiving the Holy Spirit, so we can get to the root of sin. As I mentioned, repentance can take time. And Jesus said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in the much. When I started hearing the Lord, I could not hear the details on every situation I was facing, but I needed to be faithful in what God was showing me at the time. When we respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in repentance, it's being faithful. See conviction as God's TV channel leading to the open university of God. By being faithful to repent of what he showed me, I ended up getting many answers. I got ears to hear what the Lord was saying. After I dealt with one sin he was showing me, I got eyes to see more. The lesson here is to keep repenting of something. Repentance is life. I believe daily repentance is best. Basic sins may be the key to bigger issues. Look at what James says here. This is in James chapter 1, verse 21. He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. Do not be surprised that you find God telling you to deal with some basic sins through conviction first. Dealing with the major sins will prepare the way for the living word. The word he's trying to give you has to be engrafted. This does not mean head knowledge, but rather heart knowledge. It has to change you personally. Engrafted means it has to be implanted in you. When it comes, it has to take root. It cannot do that with all those thistles and briars. And enter where the ground has not been broken up first. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 16, Matthew 7 and verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Repentance from any sin affects your growth, your position in Christ, consistency, ability to hear, and so much more. So any issue can be deepened and wider later. You have to expect by faith that if God revealed something to you through conviction, then he will finish that work. Every day, expect another piece of the puzzle through repentance. It's like attending God's university. You will see temptation more clearly. Also, you realize after a time how the curses came in your life because you are not asking the Lord. You will see the devil gets access when you do not trust him in an area. All this is part of God's university. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5, to him that opens the door, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Verse 4. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Your pastor can also help you like a tutor for you in God's school. Your part is to be teachable and not listen to a wrong voice. In the book of Isaiah 55, verse 3, it says, "Incline your ear. Come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." You get an everlasting covenant by coming to Him, listening to Him, listening to His voice. Not just by being born again. You make an effort to hear. You still need the blood of Jesus for your sins that He reveals. We need to get excited about repentance. We can only be changed by the living word. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6, "We also have been made able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life." Jesus said in John 10, 27, 28, He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand." When you start, you may not be hearing God clearly. When conviction comes, this is also hearing from God. It's an invitation to repent. Now is the time to examine yourself and see where your faith is released. It may be released in a lie. So set yourself free through repentance. It's easy just to trust God like a little child when you do not have faith in something else. There's still time to get your faith in God and get it purified if you allow God to correct you. Don't be afraid of His correction. Correction and chastening of the Lord is essential for you to grow up. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby." God's ways are with your best in mind. Do not compare yourself with others. If you have a high calling, expect more challenges and trials, but also expect more grace too. James 3 and 17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." If you're not sure you're doing the will of God at the start, pray and ask Him to close doors that need to be closed to prevent you from doing your own will. He is also faithful to stop you, and you need to listen to that correction. This will help you to get to know Him and see that His love and correction is not harsh. He sees the end from the beginning and always will make the right decision. He is your Heavenly Father and really cares for you. If you have learned to keep your mind still, you will hear His voice daily. He will direct you what to do. When you hear God every day, many times by grace, then you will say, "He is truly your Heavenly Father. He is directing you like a little child." This is what it should have been like from the very beginning. If you want to hear God's voice clearly, get to know Him and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make Him Lord with daily and regular repentance, I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. An important point is to set up a notebook to record what God shows you, and then let the Lord speak into this area over the next few days. We can only receive more as we repent. Remember, repentance gives you ears to hear more. Wake Up Volume 1, it tells you how to set up the workbook with the help of the Holy Spirit. I had somebody like Joseph Hedgecock to always help me. And he would say, this is why you need to do what you need to do next. He knew me. Staying close to the one who's discipling is also important. You can always get answers there. If you want to learn more about how the devil uses lies, and if you want to more information on the ways that seem right, please read the book, The Guilted Prison, by Joseph Hedgecock. The revised edition is now available in English. Let me pray for those who are listening to this message. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone who is seeking repentance. Every verse, everything that was shared in this was just an introduction to that wonderful life with repentance. And Father, everyone who is seeking repentance is seeking life. And Father, I pray that you would encourage everyone who heard this message to let their faith rise into your forgiveness, your goodness, your love for them, and let them know and understand that you personally want them to have the best in this life, but also have the best in eternity. And only you can prioritize. Only you know the difference. So, Father, I commit them into your hands in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for listening. I hope to see you again. Please get in touch with the ministry. You'll see the contacts after this video. God bless you. Have a great day.
If you've struggled spiritually for years, if you're not where you should be in your Christian walk, if you're determined to finish the race that God has set for you, then this book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, is written for you. This book by Joseph Hedgecock will give you details and instructions on how to identify hindrances in your life and how to overcome them. It will give you practical examples of how to get into God's presence and to stay there, and how to allow all things to pass away and things to become new. It will teach you how to be in your Father's arms and allow Him to discipline you and to encourage you and to bring you on and move you forward, to lay a right foundation that can be built on by Him later on. If you want to grow in your Father's arms, if you want your Father to teach you, if you want to grow spiritually, then this book is available from www.solm.org.